You're listening to Kelly and Steve, and this is Coupled with Chaos.
90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 4, The Boy Who Cried Divorce. I read the title. I didn't even think about who cried divorce. The Boy Who Cried Divorce. It would be
maybe. Mahmood. Well, it could be, yeah.
That seems like a crappy title.
Because he keeps threatening that. But I was initially thinking that it was Gino, because that's
he's oblivious.
She's going to do when she goes back to Panama.
Maybe his title should be Some Things you Need to Spend Money On. Maybe that's right. What their thing is. Yeah. I have probably never been so impressed with somebody as I was with Kobe tonight.
Really?
Well, yeah. I think his boys came, and instead of talking smack about Emily, and, you know, yeah. Emily is a little, you know.
What she is bossy.
And a little naggy, right? But
yes.
He
controlling.
All
go
of
down
that.
The list.
But I thought this is how.
Overbearing.
I think this is how you're supposed to handle things, right?
Right. Right.
I was just really impressed because they kept baiting him and baiting him.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't.
And he didn't take it.
And not only did he not take it, but he really stood up for her and their relationship.
That's what he told her. I thought she was real crappy about it.
Yeah.
On their date.
That was, it was even worse. It made me think worse of her than I already did.
Right.
Because she was so wrong here.
She was being sarcastic and snitty with him, and she was the one in the wrong.
So we only saw, I think, probably the first scene of the episode together, and then we had to kind of separate for the dog reasons. I mean, not an issue with the dogs, but our other dogs needed some of your attention. So we did not watch this together, but I wondered what you would think about that. And I heard that, and I watched when Emily did. On their
that
date.
Was really crap.
So it was,
yeah, that was
who's
nasty.
This guy? It can't be my husband.
Yeah, I thought that was rude too. I'm like, there's no way that he doesn't act like that ever. Like, you've never seen this before.
Well,
this is not.
I'm guessing they don't go out much, right?
Sure, but it's a special date. I mean, but to act like, you know, this is somebody you don't know, that was rude.
Well, I get her, you know, just playing up and the shtick and making jokes. And, you know, I kind of get it, but this was not, maybe this was just not the right episode for all of that.
It was just bad. All of it together made her look very bad.
Yeah, because let's really take a look at Kobe, right? I know they take a lot of crap for still living in the parents' place, right? They do. But if the parents...
He's providing for them.
If the parents don't have a problem with it...
No.
We've talked about being productive members of the household. We're not preaching like family socialism here. But sometimes there are things that are in the best interest of everybody. If they're not buying a house and they're going to rent, I'd go, you know what, maybe don't rent. Let's save up some money for a down payment and stay here. But
I wouldn't be opposed to an arrangement like that with any of our kids, as long as they weren't imposing on our life in our house.
It's family socialism, right? It is the collective. And I think you can do that in a family. Are we working towards the collective? Or aren't we? You know?
Right.
And I would assume that Kobe is. Because, look, he got his green card.
If he wasn't, her parents would have a problem with it.
Yeah, he got his green card. He's working. And there's always talk of him working. I mean, we kind of have an issue with all the sexy stuff. It seems to just define who they seem to be, you know, when we see them on the show. But I think it's deeper than that, right? I do. I think this is a couple that seem to probably get along well. They're in their rhythm. Would it be better if their rhythm was in their own place? Sure. But if they can't afford it, and mom and dad are all right.
I imagine she's relatively difficult also. I think she's used to being spoiled and getting her way. And probably not everybody is meant for her. But if he can tolerate it, then great.
And I don't think it means that he's soft in any way.
No, I mean, I think he loves her and he's willing to you know, put up with her moods, I guess. Yeah. Her controlling ways. I mean, he knows how she is, and he accepted her that way, so.
Yeah, the other guy was like, you know, when I come home, my dinner's ready, my bath is drawn. And Kobe wasn't, like, critical. He's like, that's great.
That's great. If that works for you,
yeah,
you do
I
it.
Thought it was. It was one of the, maybe the best scenarios that I've seen, you know, of people handling this.
And he was genuine about it.
Yeah, he wasn't covering for her.
No.
We're a team. This is how we do things. If it's different for you,
I'm
that's
happy.
Fine. Right.
Right.
I couldn't have been more impressed. I was like, you know what? Finally, right? Because what it is would this work for us? There's no way that we could have lived in this situation with either of our parents, right?
No. Mm-mm.
So we'd like to go, the way we did things works. Right. We waited 5 years and had kids. And you know what? They were like the opposite.
Yeah.
But it works for them.
And it was our choice. And it was their choice.
Sure. So we'd like to. There isn't a cookie cutter approach. We'd like there to be. Right. We'd like to just say, this is the way we did it. It worked for us. It should work for everybody. This is not the way it works. Right.
No.
I would assume that his friends in the barbershop there probably had already seen the scene from the stable. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, that
scene
was so bad. And that's exactly where my mind went. Yeah. I don't think anybody could ever forget that. It was so bad.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, so many iconic scenes, and mm-hmm. that is one of them.
It is.
I don't know that you need. It was like me today trying to get our son to put leaves in one of those disposable bags. Like, I could show you how to do it. Here's how I do it. But you'll figure out a fast way to get these in there. You probably don't need
If you don't, you'll be there all day.
Yeah. So you'll figure this out. So I think that'll work for you. So here's how I would do it. And then I did one. I went to mow the back and I moved to the front and he had like 4 bags full. And then I said, I'm going to fill one. I didn't to myself. I went, I'm going to fill one quickly. And so I got 2 before he got 1. He goes, how'd you do that so fast? I said, just watch. And then it was fine. Well, that's a whole lot faster. Right. It's a whole lot faster. I've filled a few of these. So I think if you saw that scene in the stable, that you would really, you know, you would get an impression of Emily that you may not ever erase.
Correct.
Because that was bad. And you saw it about the napkin and the shirt.
Yes, absolutely.
I get it. You could just say, be careful of your shirt, right? There's ways to talk.
Yeah, but you don't tell a grown man how to lay a napkin in his lap. I mean, he's a grown person.
Yeah.
I mean, that was too much. She's very overbearing. And
he's a patient
would annoy
person.
The heck out of me.
He is. And say, look, maybe he's the one for her, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's not a lot of people that would deal with a woman acting that way.
And I don't think he's past, you know, not he's going to give her crap when she does stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's opposed to, you know, like he did in the stable. Like, this is enough. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he can do that to her and seems to do it in a way that isn't necessarily off-putting. Like, it's not going to damage their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're doing something crappy here. I felt my blood start to boil when she was sarcastically going on about how nice he was treating her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is some crap. And this was even before then she gave him crap about the friends.
And that was so messed up. She was really out of line.
I think when she sees this scene, she better be apologizing to him.
Oh, sure.
But she
when
won't.
When she sees how he actually behaved with his friends?
Yeah. She'll find
she
something wrong with
really
it.
She should be really apologizing.
Because he did say she's a bit naggy, right? Or something like that. I mean, so, but it wasn't like in a mean way.
Mm-mm.
He didn't.
No, he just says the culture's different.
I'm trying to think of who we saw. Oh, it was like Tim and Veronica in Single Life. You know, I say he's a narcissistic person who only drinks Mountain Dew. And she goes, I think he's just, you know, he says about her that she's just full of drama and going to find drama.
Uh-huh.
And they went, well,
they
you
go,
know.
Yeah, yeah, I say that.
So maybe Emily's a bit, she go, you know what? Maybe I'm a bit naggy, right? So I was just really, for me, it felt really good to find somebody stick up for their spouse when he could have done the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He could have piled on. Think about like what we saw in Single Life this week with John and Patrick.
Yeah.
We knew that John was going to Patrick and complaining about his girlfriend. You knew it because there's no other way.
If he wasn't, there's no way that Patrick would have known those things.
And Patrick, we talked about it. For those of you, we did Single Life as a subscription. And there is, by the way, still a free trial up on that Patreon and Apple. But what we talked about was that despite Patrick saying that, I mean, John saying that to Patrick, that Patrick owed some silence on that. That was in confidence.
It was.
And he didn't have anybody, right, that he can talk to in confidence.
Right. And if he makes him feel like he can't confide in him, then bad things could happen in his life.
So
he doesn't have anyone else.
Yeah. So Kobe doesn't have that himself, and he's not running to these people and complaining. Kobe's putting on his bootstraps, going to work, and dealing with Emily and their family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I know they take a ton of heat about still living in, but that's their, I mean, that's their whole family business.
Right.
I mean, it'd probably be better if you probably got a house before you had your eighth kid, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, right. They're still cranking them out.
But I mean, that's still their business, right? They're married.
Right.
And we look at all these other relationships, you go, you know what? They're in their rhythm.
Yeah. At least they're supporting each other.
Yeah. Well,
and they seem happy.
I don't know that she's supporting him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Just in general, that just didn't strike me as a supportive conversation, that whole date night thing.
Yeah, that was bad.
It just rubbed me.
I wonder how much bickering they do. Maybe they're like Manuel and his
Ashley.
Wife, and they just, you know,
bang it out
by banging it out.
Maybe they have kids, so I can't argue with
kids,
you
yeah.
on that one.
So I'm saying,
Ashley, somehow, what's that big book? Is what she says.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So
really?
The thought is she probably has no religious background in her at all.
Whatsoever.
And that's not, I guess, necessarily a surprise.
But she was judgmental enough to say that a lot of her clients have, what did she call it? Religious.
Trauma, I think is what it
trauma.
Was.
Trauma.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bit much.
That she goes there. I think for them, whatever you want to do, I think, you know, having knowledge of where somebody comes from and what they're about. I don't know that this one thing is that big of a deal. And I don't know how really religious Manuel is. I mean, he hasn't, obviously, in the time they've been there, he hasn't attended, it seems, since he's been there.
It seems important to him, but, you know.
Well, I think it's his family.
But in people I've known in the Catholic Church, I mean, they're either really, really into it and they, you know, follow everything, or they're kind of lackluster and take it at their convenience.
You know, the holiday type.
Right, exactly.
I think even if they don't agree, I think learning about their beliefs, you know, I think it gives them at least some understanding. No matter what we've done, is, you know, part of what we've done even in our homeschool curriculum is that it's giving just a basis of knowledge about what other
all kinds of religions.
Yeah, what they all are.
Right.
And so when it's time for a child to do that or not do that, at least they're armed with knowing what
all
that
the
big
information.
Knowing what that big book is up front.
Yeah. And I did the same, like when I you know, was seriously dating someone over a period of years when I was in high school. We were both Christian, attended Christian churches, but he was denominational and I was non-denominational. And so, you know, our beliefs weren't exactly the same. And so his family was very active in the church. His father was a deacon. And so it was important for me that we understood each other and considered our differences. And so we took turns attending each other's church. Obviously, I wanted him to come to mine, but I knew that in order to get him to come to mine, I would also have to go to his. So we arranged it so that we went together to church in the morning and to his in the evening. And that way we both experienced each other's.
I kind of did the same. I went to a Mormon church for a little bit when I was about the same age. I mean, because, you know, as an infant, as a child through the divorce, it was Methodist and then Baptist after that point, right? And then, you know, as you're later in high school and you can drive yourself around and you meet people, you know, I'd had some abuse issues with somebody in the church. So maybe, you know, I wasn't in the best place when it came to, you know, my impression of what the church was and how pretty much everybody just looked past it. I don't know what I told everybody. I wasn't really sure. You know what I mean? We've kind of gone over that in our personal podcast.
Right.
But, you know, I met somebody and I went to a Mormon church for probably a month, maybe 6 weeks. And they were really, I mean, like anything, they were good people, right? There weren't like, it wasn't a multiple wife thing.
Right.
It was just, they were just good people, very family-based people.
Right.
And I think the more you learn about that, I think a lot of times, you know, you'd get your impression of Mormonism as polygamous stuff, you know, or Garrick or somebody like that.
Fundamentalist. Right. It's different, yeah.
But you just don't know. And so you go in with this preconceived notion. But if you don't have this experience, and you at least know where other people are coming from.
Right.
Ashley is, you know, she kind of, you know, I don't know that she, I don't know if she was negative about it at all.
Yeah, she didn't seem especially open either, though.
You know what they need to do is take her. This is the Catholic, right? Take her to an exorcism. Or take her. What do they do at a funeral service? I believe, you know, they have the incense going at the funeral services.
So I think she'd like that.
If you took this could kind of win her over. Maybe she would. I think she would all, you know, I don't want to dismiss her belief system, but
she could sneak some crystals in her pockets.
Right, something like that. So you could maybe woo her in with some of that stuff. You know, for me, and we see it, right? It's a common 90-day theme about people with different, you know, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, just with different belief systems, right? You know, and I don't know. We've talked about it a few times, but we haven't heard too much from, like, listeners who go, you know what, you know, I'm Catholic and, you know, my spouse is Jewish. And you know how that works with them, because I think it would be difficult for me to understand, you know, how you get through those things.
Right.
It seems,
especially if you have children, because you'd have some significant differences in how you chose to raise them.
Yeah, I'd like to know how it works. And I think it's more of a conversation than, it would almost be more of a personal podcast where we'd have somebody on, because I'd like to really have that conversation. You know,
because I think if it was just the two of you, you could respect each other's choice of how you worship. And what your basic beliefs are, and you could worship separately. It wouldn't have to be together.
Like an Ashley and Manuel.
Yeah, but I think when children enter the mix, then there's conflict. I can't imagine that you couldn't have conflict.
Well, you know, we saw it like with Ari and Binyam. Ari's parents, right, are like that. And it's for them, it seems to work just fine. But I'd almost like to hear from somebody. You know, and I think it's more of a conversation than an email or something, you know, or a text or something back and forth. You know, how does it really work? But I don't know, it'd more or less be dirt about why it didn't work or how you make it work. What do you do at holidays and things like that?
Yeah.
Are you bitter at like Easter? It's like, hey, you know, I know what you did. You go, well, I was supposed to, right? It was already in the cards, not literally in the cards. The priest talked a little bit about that, and you know, I think that was just all kind of a setup, and about, you know, the black arts or whatever. I forget the term that he used, but I mean,
the dark spirits. He
said, "Yeah, is what he did." So it was that. I mean, you could get into the church and things that they do. And I don't know. This is the place for that. We all understand. The issues probably in that church, in the Catholic Church. So I mean, it doesn't mean just because it's one doesn't mean it's everybody. So,
right.
Yeah, I get it. How about this, the difference between Newark and New York?
Oh, that was so funny. My jaw dropped when I realized what had happened. I was like, wow, you know, they planned this whole trip to into and to be in New York, and it's actually in New Jersey.
I wonder if it's like they looked at it on the globe and they pointed and go, we're right here, right? Because in a globe, they're probably really close.
Uh-huh.
With a map, it's completely different, I would assume.
Well, and pronunciation-wise, for him, it would be nearly the same. You know, he wouldn't pick up on the difference because it all sounds foreign to him anyway. So yeah, that's kind of funny.
That was great.
I had to laugh inside.
What do you think about slow playing the spin? Because she could say, look, I am a spin instructor. I've never asked anybody in my life if they're a witch. Are you a witch?
Yeah.
Is that going to come up? Because that's what she didn't do. If they ask me if I'm a witch, what do I say? And the assumption is they haven't seen, because I think this is old too. So I think they haven't seen the first season.
Right. Well, I mean, and he didn't know when he came to marry her.
Mm-hmm.
She told him after. So even the fact that she withheld it from him until he had nowhere to go but to leave was pretty unfair. So for then her to then turn it around and go, well, you have to tell your family, when she didn't even tell him because she was afraid of the reaction, is really unfair.
So what's the move here? What's the right, I mean, what's the appropriate thing to do? I mean, you shouldn't hide who you are, right? We get that.
Right. But, you know, if the idea is they're ever going to have any hope of them accepting her, I think that you can't just come out with that up front before they know her.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it would be like for him, he already knew her when she sprung that on him and it bothered him, but he got past it because he already knew her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's counting on the same. And really, how much do they need to know? They don't live with her. She's not influencing them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you can say I'm a spin instructor. Do you think it's lying by not?
No, because she is.
Yeah, you don't think it's a lie of omission by not saying I'm a spin instructor and a witch?
Well, do you go through the list of everything that you've ever done when somebody asks you what you do?
Right. It would be like us. Somebody asks me what I do. I'm an electrical project manager. I don't say I'm an electrical project manager. And I talk about crappy reality relationship shows with my wife. Till
we hardly ever tell anybody
till midnight on Sunday. And then there's that. And I watch every Real Housewives show.
Well, and really, you kind of keep that separate from your professional life.
Yes.
You know, until you've been around a long time, people don't know that you do that.
Right.
We don't even really talk about that. So, you know, I mean, you don't necessarily just have to spill every detail about your life to every person at the first meeting.
Right.
It comes up over time. You know, if we're out to dinner with somebody and we know them well, then we'll eventually tell them about podcasting.
Right.
But it's not your lead.
Because really, say what you want. I mean, this is the basis, but really what we are is more of a relationship podcast, not so much a reality TV. We talk about this stuff, but you know, what we talk about is still pretty consistent, right? I mean, we talk about with people is, you know, maybe don't bang so early. Right? Slow down a little bit and find a way to work it out when you're together. So there's all that.
So if we just led with, we have a reality TV podcast, somebody might get the wrong impression about how we spend our time.
Right.
You know, and so until they know us, it's probably not the lead story that you're going to share.
Right. I don't go in there saying, you know what? I look good without a shirt and a construction vest and a hard hat.
Right.
You know, this is what I do. You know, it would be like,
yeah, it's not that you're trying to hide anything. It's that, you know, it has to be given in context.
It would be like Kobe and Emily. What do you guys do? Well, we just bang a lot and have a lot of kids, right?
So he's in the same boat. He wants to present her in context.
Mm-hmm. Like them to get to know her like he did.
Right. Exactly.
Mm. I think that works. I think you could convince me of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just wondering if it's maybe not consistent with like what we've said before about, if it comes up, you don't lie about it, right?
Right.
So that would be it.
If they did ask her straight out, yes, she should tell the truth.
What are these crystals and these cards about that you're carrying with you? It's like, okay, that's what this is about.
Right.
I think, you know, it's been pretty easy for us to get on Mahmood and Rob, but I think this time, you know, I kind of had a different, and we are taking everything that we know in real time and our inside scoop stuff and putting this aside, right?
Yes.
Because we know some things that we talk about in Inside Scoop. And so we're right. putting that aside and we're judging this by where
face
it's
value of this episode.
So when I thought about this and I go, Mahmood has, and again, this is in this bubble, right? Mm-hmm. Mahmood has made some concessions,
mm-hmm.
right? Sleeves or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
What concessions has Nicole made for Mahmood?
Well, when she was there, she tried to integrate, accept his religion as her own, and
I think that's
tried
not
true. To. Well, I mean, she thought she was. She just didn't know what it was she was accepting.
Right.
But, I mean, she tried to. She tried to integrate into his culture so she didn't stand out, right, to make him comfortable. But she couldn't do it long term. And so I think she's expecting him to make the same kind of all-in effort right from the start. But it didn't work for her. And so it's not going to work for him either.
Yeah.
But he's not viewing it from the perspective that she already tried to do this. You know, I should put in the effort. He's kind of, well, no, I'm not going to do that. He's pretty still being pretty rigid.
Yeah, and I think he's always going to be.
However, the incident when they were walking on the boardwalk with the woman
in the hijab.
That was, yeah, I really think that she was out of line. I did not see him, you know, inappropriately staring. For me, I was thinking
you said
probably
it before he did.
Looked because he felt familiar.
This is the one
it
scene.
Was something he could relate to.
I think this is where we stopped watching it together. You kind of said mm-hmm. this. I paused it and you went in the other room. But mm-hmm. this is what you said right away. And then right. he kind of said the same thing after.
Right.
I was a bit surprised to see this is what it would be. It would be like if I'm in, like I leave a grocery, I'm in a grocery store. And I'm not trying to minimize what this is. But I'm in a grocery store and I see somebody come out in a, like a Detroit Tigers hat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It feels comfortable and familiar.
Right. I want to stop.
And you would look.
Yes. I want to stop
and
stare.
You want to have a conversation.
And like, I get where you're coming from. That's great. Right. And so mm-hmm. maybe that this was a part of that. Right. He.
Right. It was something familiar and comforting.
Because I look at it and I go, that's probably not a tiger's hat. And then it turned
out
it is.
Because he felt out of place.
Mm-hmm. And so it was something of comfort for him. That is right. a possibility. There's also the possibility that he was eyeballing her. It's possible. But
I do think she overreacted.
Yeah,
and then her saying he was a womanizer, like that was a big leap.
Yeah. I didn't get that here.
No.
She admitted she has insecurities, and she's probably projecting those on him at this point.
Yes.
And I don't know that he can be responsible for those insecurities of hers.
Right.
He's got enough of his own issues.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, I don't know that this is one that he should probably take the heat for.
But yeah, and this incident, I think she was wrong.
Yeah. Don't you think...
But I also get the feeling that he is so difficult and so rigid, this is never going to work.
Yeah, there's no signs of it that it can work.
And it doesn't appear that she's any longer trying to compromise. And so that makes it a no-go.
Yeah, I'm still not sold that she's done much to compromise.
Right. It seemed like she tried to when she was in Egypt. But here now, she's all, I'm me, accept me or not.
Yeah, because did you get a good look at what she was wearing? They showed a good little clip of what it was. It looked like it was a tight dress with a bunch of buttons in the back, maybe four or five. And it was tight.
I didn't.
You could see the skin between the buttons. It was like...
I didn't see the back.
Yeah,
I just saw the front.
It was just tiny little gaps. It wasn't like it was a backless thing. So for us, we'd go, it wouldn't even be something that we would object to, like, one of our kids wearing, right? It was that insignificant of a thing.
I didn't see the back, but...
So I don't think that mattered, other than, for all of us, probably Americans that look at that, we go, well, that's really nothing. You know, we see Chantel and we go, well, it's not that, right?
Right.
She doesn't have hoo-ha tape on, you know?
Right.
So putting that aside, I thought, you know, in this scenario, she could have just gone, you know what? I'll wear something different tonight.
Right.
Or I'll put a sweater on over this. There's things you could have done. I'm not saying she should have.
Right. And she put a jacket on.
But it's things that you can do. And it seems like neither of them are like in a position where they really feel like compromising.
Right.
And so I think it's past that. And we are shocked that he even came, because after the season, it was like, this is not ever going to work.
Right.
This is the imperfect storm or the perfect hurricane of an American-Islamic relationship that isn't going to work.
Right. That scene of her going down the street away from him and him kind of manhandling her, like, that was so red flag alarming to me that I never would have looked back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could see that he could be physical with her in that scene.
Yep.
You could see how quickly he becomes angry and out of control. And I never would have given him the time of day after that.
Yeah, and even compare, right, their issues on religion versus, say, an Ashley and Manuel.
Uh-huh.
And how they are. And you go, well, that, even it's a bit awkward for them, but it's not this awkward.
No.
It's not
bad. And they can disagree, but they're not trying to harm each other. And they're not, you know, saying horrible things that you can't come back from. You know, they're just getting mad and then banging it out.
So, is that your solution?
But they're not harming each other.
Yeah.
And they're both interested in working it out.
So, I thought that yarn umbrella was pretty cool. Did you see that? That was pretty neat.
What?
That yarn umbrella that she had. That was pretty cool.
No.
So it was this, it almost looked like...
I was crafting and listening.
See, she was crafting. So she had this yarn umbrella. It was a Michaels thing, I think, is what it was, is what you'd expect to find there. So she was spinning it. But I looked at it and I went, you know, you can't have that around kids. I think of her whole area. And you go, this is surely not kid friendly. And then I went, you know, not only is it not kid friendly, they can never have a puppy.
Right.
So.
For sure.
Right.
You think I'd leave my dress form back there with the
foster
puppy?
I think it's
puppy?
A person, right?
No.
No.
Yeah. Mm. You're knocking it over and licking it. She was chewing on my nose today.
Ed and Liz, not a lot to this other than it seemed like they're both trying to normalize a relationship that isn't normal.
No.
It felt like really awkward.
Yeah, and to hear him talk about how they're so different since their two-week thing was just a load of crap to
It
me.
Is crap.
They're not so different. They're still just as volatile as they were when they were there. They're just pretending that they're not.
Sure. Yeah, even though they fight, we say we love each other in the driveway.
Yeah,
and you know,
that's nice.
She says that she confides. Anybody who says that Liz has confided in them about their relationship with Ed would mean they know.
Right.
I mean, they know it.
Uh-huh.
You know, they know how bad he is, because there's no doubt that Liz, you saw last week, I was shocked how she broke. And we talked about it last week. I don't want to necessarily get into it.
But talking to her mom.
Yeah, she broke when they said, we're going to confront Ed. And it was almost like...
She was afraid this was going to be the end of the relationship.
Well, it would be what I would expect from somebody who has been physically abused. And you go, you know what? And I'm not saying I don't know that that's been the case, that it's been physical abuse with them. But her reaction would be somebody who's afraid.
Yeah, like, please don't stir, set off the storm.
Right. Don't stir the pot because, you know, he's going to get me when you leave. Mm-hmm. This is what I felt. And it was troubling. You know, and it's not something I've experienced, right? But I know even as a kid in an abusive situation, right, you learn how to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You go, I think part of my sense of humor and always joking was because I was just trying always to make light of situations. You know, if we laugh, then maybe we'll forget about all the crap and how angry people are. So it was my way of I don't know, coping. And so I saw that in Liz. Because this is somebody who's desperate. Mm. So for them, I don't know. You know, any thoughts on the conversation between Ed and, I mean, it all seemed like hooey to me.
Yeah, I mean, if her mom believes that they've improved or changed or made progress, then she is just as snowed as anyone. Because nothing has changed.
No. And we saw that
I haven't seen anything that's different except that they're pretending it's different.
Right. Just you saying it isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
You can't will it something like that to be true.
And that's what it feels like. It feels like they're just willing it to be better.
Is there anything you can will to fruition?
No.
I'm trying to think, is there something? Like anywhere, in anything, not even in relationship, is there anything in life that you could will? I mean, you get people who tell you to be positive or stuff like that, which I think is probably hooey, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that really does for you. Look at the bright side. It's like, that's not really a thing, you know? Because you're just masking whatever
whether you're looking at it as the glass half full or half empty, it's still got the same amount. It doesn't actually change it.
Right. It's like, you know, I think that it is almost an easy transition into Gino.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I see him say, right, that she has no appreciation for what I've done for her. And I'm like,
that made me so mad.
Well, it's like, whatever, right?
It's like apples and oranges. It's not about that. It's about her kids. Maybe because
she's never about yesterday.
Had children.
It's like, okay, what do you want from me? Let's get this appreciation out in the open. And what do you want me to do to show you that I appreciate you? And
let's forget about that and get to the current issue.
Yeah, because that is indeed yesterday. It has no bearing on this situation that we have going forward. None.
Maybe it's because he's never had children that he just can't fathom the significance of this issue.
That hit me when they were in the driveway with the GTO talking with the car. It was like, he doesn't get it.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's oblivious. And it was shocking to me that he wasn't taking her seriously. She was right. He wasn't giving this any stock. He's just like, oh, it'll blow over. You know,
well, it's
going to
take 8 months anyway.
Like,
what's the difference between 8 months and 2 years? Like, this is where a mom would literally choke somebody out.
That's what I'm saying. He's way off base here. And why does his cousin see it and he doesn't?
Well, because his cousin probably, you know, we gave him some crap about whatever. And, you know, I think production puts people up about the prenup and stuff like that. I get it, right? And so it's hard for relatives to be consistent when production is saying, I need you to push the prenup during this meeting, whatever. So, you know, I get it. So, but this appears to be a real conversation. It's like, you know, you better wake up. This is over.
You're about to lose your wife.
Yeah, you have to do something about this today.
And I thought his cousin did an excellent job of explaining the gravity and what it really means as a mom of a kid that age to miss
two years. I thought I think the ages between 11 and 13 are big.
It is a significant transition in a child's life. And it is a significant transition in your relationship with the child, mm-hmm. also. Big shift. They go from loving you and wanting to show everyone they love you to hating you, thinking you're stupid, and not wanting to be seen with you.
Right. And to do everything the opposite of the advice
of
that
what you
give
say.
Them.
Right, exactly.
I have a hard time getting past Jasmine leaving the kids, just in general. I know it's probably extremely judgmental, and maybe the kids are in good hands, but I have a hard time, just personally, right?
Right.
Getting past that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to weigh it.
Reconcile that.
Yeah,
because, and you see how she is struggling now with her decision to leave the kids. That now she feels like she should have waited and come together with them and waited until that was possible.
Yeah.
And that's true. She probably should have done that. She probably got caught up in the opportunity to come here and give her kids a better life.
Well,
but,
and I think even being, because I know you don't know what would happen in the future, but being frivolous with this butt implant thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That they didn't have real conversations about these things, and they couldn't.
Right.
So she
right,
went.
Right, and all that money could have been used for an attorney.
That's easy, could have been. She could have probably, we got could and should, right? She could mm-hmm. have gone and taken that money and got an attorney in Panama.
Right.
Because obviously it works both ways.
Right.
I need to make sure that this is going to happen. And then tell Gino, well, guess what? You know, my wedding dress money is gone, but I got an attorney and we're getting the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That those are things that could have happened.
Right. But neither one of them was focused on the priorities.
And so it's the impact of your decisions and how they cascade into where you are today.
Right.
Jasmine can't go back and get the money back for her butt implants, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that decision did impact this now.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. And
right, because even not using it for the wedding dress, then he had to come up with that money later. It was that much less
yeah.
that he has now to pay for an attorney. It all snowballs. They're both responsible.
He said this. And this is a loaded statement, and I like
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
I've already spent enough on the wedding.
Yeah, he didn't say I don't have it.
He did say I don't have it, but then he said that,
yeah.
which means implies he has
more money, but he doesn't have it for that.
He spent enough on the wedding. At this point,
I caught that too.
Right, I choke him out. I
mm-hmm.
beat the crap out of him. Right. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. not violent, but this is such a horrible statement. I've already
yeah.
spent enough on the wedding.
And that's when the cousin, you know, really kind of laid into him a little bit.
He didn't say all
about, you know, there's some things you should want to spend money on. And this is one of them.
Yes. I mean, let's get into this. Like, this is something, right? If you're being questioned by the police, and we're going back, we cover accused, guilty, or innocent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you hadn't watched Accused, Guilty, or Innocent, you should. It's on A&E. I think we're in, what, season 6 or something like that? We did last season, and we are recording this season also. Consistently over and over again, right? Get a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't guarantee that everyone has your best interest. Jasmine...
Well, And I do think, you know, the haves and the have-nots are treated differently. They have different outcomes because having an attorney matters. And I think we probably would not have thought that had we never been exposed
to it.
But because we were in trying to help someone
in
else
a personal
who was going
situation.
Through it, yeah, then we really saw it in a way we never would have understood.
Sure.
Because I think that would have had a completely different outcome.
It's easy to go through life and say, well, you know what? I'm just never going to get arrested. I'm never going to do anything to get arrested. It's mm-hmm. not that easy. Because you're just one side eye away from being in a police interrogation room. And for some
people, you could be the victim.
For some people, right? Exactly, right? You could be actually the victim or one of the victims. And we've seen it over and over again. And
right.
The have-nots don't get lawyers because they can't afford them. And maybe they don't have the education to go, this is a situation I probably need somebody in. Because the police are going to, can say, look, just tell us this and then you'll be home tonight. Then you say it and then you're not home.
And then you go to jail.
So, like even some things, even if you're going to go into debt, get a lawyer. Or, I mean, if you need to have a court-appointed lawyer, at least that buys you some time. Right. You're going to sit in jail for 48 hours, but and it sucks, but you're probably not getting home anyway. So get a lawyer.
Right.
And so here it's the same thing. Gino could go and make another mistake on this form. He made one already. Right. He could make another one.
Yep.
So
he certainly could.
I know we probably get accused of being too safe with money, but.
Well, we are pretty safe with money, but.
We assume I think, a problem's going to happen.
Yes. And I think that we've seen some things we didn't expect.
Yep.
And well, and realize it's not the same for everybody.
Yep.
It's not. It's unfair as it is.
Yep. It's reality. And you may not want to admit it. It's not just simple to go ahead and because you could just be profiled.
Right.
And then it's over. And so it's easier for some.
Too.
It's easier for some to go unnoticed than others.
Yeah.
And so I while they were that opening scene with Jasmine, while they were in this mailbox city, I did a quick Google search for this mailbox city in Canton, and I could tell you there's just some fun comments on like Google reviews. Like the owner, I'd like it when in these places, because I think it's not like a big chain, it's a thing. And so the owner responds to comments that people leave. And it's kind of some great back and forth. I would suggest looking up mailbox. There's not a ton of comments there, but I looked at them and I said, well, this is kind of fun. And so it was kind of a fun read. So do
what
that.
Is it?
Mailbox City in Canton. This is where Jasmine went to mail that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So that was good. I'm not going to talk about it, anything negative, because I'm afraid the owner would come and leave us some bad reviews or something. So
interesting.
It's a thing, right? I can only imagine. I saw that Gino and Jasmine went to look at their wedding pictures. I'm assuming that every photo that Gino has hanging, like in the house, says like draft. Or something, you know what?
Right, exactly.
He would be the
sample.
One. Yes, it would have a watermark on every picture.
Right.
Why would
exactly.
I pay for the real one?
Uh huh.
Because I have this picture right here.
I could just clip the bottom off.
So it's good. He would have Sharpie coloring it in. I got it off. That would be super. I don't think there's anyone who I thought worse about than this episode, as bad as Emily was, than Sophie.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
The whole episode.
Yeah. That she blindsided him with this information in front of all of his friends was pretty
crappy. It's the whole
crappy.
Thing. It's the whole situation. Callum has no business being there. Ryan, she's out telling everybody, look, we agree Rob's not good, right?
He's robbed the knob.
Yeah, but so Rob's not good. Just blanket. It's just who he is as a person. Isn't maybe suitable yet for a relationship. That's
fine. He has such an attitude, an air about him of just combativeness and just, I don't know, he plays victim and it just bothers
me. Well, he's a victim here. Today,
yes,
what
this
he
time
did,
he is.
What was done to him was wrong.
Was messed up. Yeah,
he got left out on an island, and that he even agreed to come and do this had to take some convincing because his gut said this is going to
bad
be wrong.
Idea. And you know what? I did not like any of the times that she's had friends or her mother around, and she has allowed people to question Rob quite directly and accusatorily, and she has just turned and looked at him and waited for his answer. That she didn't intervene and say, well, that's not a fair question, or, you know, try to, you know, soften it in some way. Like she just kind of leaves him like shark bait in front of her friends and family. And I don't like how she does that.
Compare that to Kobe and how he handled the stuff with Emily. And you see this. And look, Kobe's
she
a little...
She runs no interference.
Kobe's a little older and maybe a bit more mature than Sophie is. Sophie, it appears, spends her time on the phone or texting people about how bad Rob is.
Yeah, because I was just going to say, it appears that not only is she not helping the situation or defending him, but it seems that she's muddying the waters before these people even meet him. And that's unfair also.
Yeah. I mean, she has poisoned Rob to them.
And she'd poisoned her mother.
Yeah. I mean, we were on that
against him before they even got married. And if you're planning to marry somebody, that's not a good thing to do. That's not a smart move.
No.
Because parents are less apt to forgive than you are.
Well, you've said it all
along. So if you expect them ever to get along, then you can't be pulling them into that stuff.
And them not being together is a problem. We've said it about, I can't even remember, so often, over and over and over again, you have said.
Yeah, you don't work out your problems apart.
No, and I don't even remember how many times we've said this, but some things I think we say, and maybe people get tired of hearing about it, but you can't work these things out. What do you get used to doing when you're apart? You get used to being apart.
Right.
So we work out our problems just fine apart. Easy.
Right. The only problems that get worked out apart are eliminating snoring.
I don't like your tone.
Because it eliminates snoring.
You get more sleep. It's when you send me.
Everybody sleeps better.
So if you aren't listening to our personal podcast, what happens is we have a foster dog right now, and we're kind of afraid of her time alone and eating like the television off the wall
the
in the back room
or
Victrola that we have back there.
A little
there.
Bit crazy.
So we're a little concerned. So right now I'm staying in the couch in the back room. We're getting along just fine, I think. Right.
And I'm getting the best sleep I've had in months.
You send the report to me each day of your great sleep. And I just feel like we're getting ready to have a sleep divorce somewhere. So this is all you work out apart. Hey, you know what? I sleep better.
That's the only thing that works out, yeah.
I sleep better apart than together.
I miss you.
That's good. Whatever. But we've said it over and over again. Together versus apart. Right?
Yes.
And it's just something you talk about. You say that, and you talk about Dr. Phil.
Right. Well, I mean, and I'll reveal a little bit of personal here.
What? I don't like the way this is going, I think.
Because,
when we talk about our personal life.
Well, this is relevant, I think. We were in Virginia, we weren't in the best place as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, circumstances weren't good for you at work, and it was snowballing to home and making everyone miserable.
Right.
Essentially.
Well, it was enough to a point where it was a day that was really bad. And it goes back to Carrie White, and I'll let you get back to it. But it goes back to, you said, look, it's time.
Right? Yes, time to change.
Right.
This has got to change.
It was when I got told, when Carrie White was beating the crap out of me with a baseball bat and I couldn't hit girls. And my dad finally said, okay, next time you can defend yourself. Right. I was 7, right? This is two 7-year-old kids. Changed my life. Said, okay, you can do it. And so things were so bad that you looked and said, it's time for a change, knowing full well that it could involve a move.
Yes. Far-reaching implications, but worth it because it was that bad for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so we weren't in a good place. And maybe, you know, I was very tearful that you had to leave to start the job without us some months ahead.
Virginia to Texas.
Yeah, and I had to pack up the house, get Hayden graduated, get him through prom, get him through getting his license so he could drive a car down. There was a lot to do. We had 20 years of crap to throw out, you know, and pack up a truck and arrange a mover and find a house. And it was a lot in a short period of time. It's very stressful to do alone. But at the same time, as much as I was so sad when you drove away, because we'd never been apart in all of our years of marriage for more than, you know, your 2 weeks at reserves. That was very hard for me to watch you drive away. However, the time apart got easier, probably because the tension was gone.
Yeah.
And it would have been easy to go, you know what? I can live without him.
Right.
And just leave it that way. You know, I could have seen where maybe somebody might have chosen that.
It's just stress-free.
Yeah, it was less stressful. Stressful for other reasons.
Right.
But it was a relief almost from the tension. And I've never talked about that.
Sure.
But I was nervous then about coming back together and how it would be, because I knew how things were when we left it. But it was so wonderful to be reunited.
Well, and we see what the difference in stress levels were.
Yes, right? And everything was different because the bad stuff was left behind, because it was the circumstances that made it bad. It wasn't really us. And so,
well, it was still how we dealt with it, right? And we didn't deal with it. We probably, that was a time where we learned how to deal with that thing better.
Yes. And so in the future, when things were stressful again, we dealt with it better because we learned from that mistake of that time and how bad it made things.
Yeah. And it was another even work situation. And I think we kind of nipped it when it was time.
Yes, because we saw it happening.
Yep.
Because it was familiar.
Yeah.
And we go, this is not good. Let's nip this earlier.
Yeah. Let's not wait years.
Yeah, because this seems familiar, and we don't want to go back to that place.
And it wasn't. There was no way to improve things.
Right, exactly. So back to this Rob and Sophie situation. They're not dealing with their actual issues together. And separating, you go, well, this feels easier. And they're probably going to end up staying that way.
Yeah, I think.
Because when they're together, they're arguing. And they haven't resolved any of their issues. They haven't done anything to make it any better. And spending time apart will feel easier because they're not fighting.
But they're still not developing the tools
to
deal with real problems.
To even do it better the next time with someone else.
No. Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to tell that story.
That makes sense. You know?
Yeah, they're just not making the right steps to ever handle this any better.
Yeah, because I'm assuming in this situation, you put yourself in Rob's spot here, right? For me, and this is not like us, but if I'm sitting where Rob is right now in this relationship with Sophie, in their, you know, background and all of this, you know, this would be the end for me. What Sophie did to Rob today. If I'm Rob, I go, yeah, this is over, right?
Yeah.
This is the end, right?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Right. I can't believe production must have convinced him to go, because he knew it was a problem.
Everybody in the room felt how uncomfortable this was. They all said it. Well, that was really uncomfortable. And yeah, it got uncomfortable when you spilled the beans. Well, we didn't think you wouldn't have told him that, Sophie.
It sounded like, I don't know if it was the preview, you know, because all right at the end. If it was the preview or them talking where it was like they were 17.
Yeah.
Where they were kids, although it was for them, it's not that long ago.
Right.
But
she's not very old.
But in the preview, to see Callum get up and go intervene. At this point,
yeah,
many times is when you get your butt whooped.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're just inserting yourself in a volatile situation.
Right.
Where
and he was the one who just spilled the beans. And he needs to back away respectfully at this point. Yeah. And go, whoa, I just opened a can of worms.
Yeah, but
he does need to realize that this isn't a boyfriend. This is her husband.
Well, so
what he thinks about it is irrelevant anyway.
So I'm kind of wordsmithing here, right? And so when he said there wasn't enough, he'd already spent enough on the wedding. Callum said something here and said, you know, if you're going to be with her for a long time.
Yeah.
And I went, this is some crap.
Yeah, because they're married.
Let's back off. You're married.
She even said something about that.
Yeah, we are married. Let's be for real. Although it seems like I don't know what's holding them together, right?
Yeah.
I would love to give Rob some advice. But
which would be?
Get her back in the house, right?
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
The list. To have her back in there and to drop that list on her last week was just the wrong move.
Yeah, that was messed up.
I just wonder, when you see this stuff.
He was baiting her.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. He was trying to get her not to stay. It was such the wrong move to make. I was shocked.
Almost to say, well, you're just going to run off now?
It would have been, you know what he could have done? She said,
completely provoked.
Well, they got that Airbnb. Remember, they were staying at his place, and they went and got the Airbnb, and he went and picked up the takeout of whatever her favorite meal was. I don't even remember what it was. But when she gets there, that he is personally preparing this meal for her, right? This is how she enters his place. Not with a list I left for you on the table, right? There are things that I think you could do. And so maybe... You know, I think the assumption is that everybody knows how to be in a relationship. And Rob probably doesn't have that experience in his life of positive relationships, maybe, that they know what to do. And when you think about it, you go, well, what are your examples of how to handle things?
He really acts her age. You almost forget that he's so much older than her.
Yeah, I think it's 8 years or something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, but it's 8 significant years.
I think 32 and 24 are...
Because you go from...
And I could be wrong there.
What kind of a different person are you in your 30s than in your 20s?
Yeah.
I mean, that's significant.
Yeah, I'm not trying to push this week on Rob.
It's like 12 and 20. You know, you're a different person.
But
your
how do I have
your
a drama-free evening with them? Right.
He doesn't seem to want drama-free.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. It's like having...
It seems like he looks for issues.
Having a neutral... And you hate
positive
to have that.
Positive experience.
Yeah, and not even positive. Like neutral. It's like every conversation I have, like with my family. It's like a neutral one. Mm-hmm. Weather. Yeah. Right? Detroit Lions. Red Wings. You know, who died in the past, you know, month. You know, it's, you know, these are conversations.
We're getting to be that age.
These are conversations that you have when, you know, it's not, you know, it's not when you come into Michigan or, you know, it's this kind of thing. It's, you know, it's just, and
nothing loaded.
I wouldn't, yeah, nothing that's going to, you know, remember when I beat you with the Kirby vacuum cleaner. You know, that doesn't come up, right? It's just not something we talk about. But, you know, and I wouldn't think for a husband and wife, you would need to have neutral conversations, right?
Uh-huh. But maybe they do.
Right. It would be, I don't know.
Just because everything's negative.
Yeah.
They don't have anything else. Every time they come together, it's negative.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, if you want to go, how would these two stay together? And I last week, I would have said, you know, Rob could have handled that better. After this...
Maybe they need to go two-stepping more.
After this week, I say it's not fixable. I think...
No.
And it's where Sophie's at. She's so negative, and they would have to go live on an island together without any outside influence, because I don't think Sophie can, I don't think that she can't go around and poison the world against Rob. Maybe Rob acts like a victim because Sophie's put everybody against him. It's possible. It just doesn't give Rob,
that a million times about her mom.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've said it about, I mean, let's not forget, even that last whole season we went, you know, her mom's out of line.
Yeah.
Way, way out of line. And I think it's because Sophie just texts and complains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Rob's still a knob.
Yeah.
And I don't know that maybe this is the thing that allows him to be a better partner in the future. But I don't know that, I don't think Sophie's there.
And I'm not sure that even when they split up, because it's clear that they will, even when that happens, I'm not clear that they'll be any better in their next relationship, either one of them.
I think Rob has a better chance. I think.
He still did a lot of belly aching, and he's very negative, and that's not going to bode well.
No. But when I see this, I go,
he has some growing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I wasn't keeping good track of whether or not we talked about everybody, but still no Lauren and Alexi, and no Michael and Angela. So they're still in it. But we do get Patrick and Thais next week, it appears.
Well, I mean, I think all the blogs and rags have all concluded that Michael and Angela have been left out for good reason. But why would Lauren and Alexi?
Well, we talked
about
this
before.
Other
than their political views.
Yeah, this has been, they've been pretty out there. And I'm not even going to go there. But I think it's been pretty, they've been.
But it's not like a legal thing. So why would they shy away from something controversial? I mean, they kind of thrive on that.
I think it was pretty, volatile, the things that they've said. And you could imagine.
I haven't paid attention.
You can imagine Alexi's position, right?
Sure.
So I think you kind of know what his position is. And so I think they've said some things. And so it wouldn't probably.
You think they upset the network or just fans?
No, I think, I don't know.
Both.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's that edgy that I think that, I think there's a good chance they would avoid it.
So then no more spinoff for them either, you think?
Yeah, probably not. I think it was that rough.
A deal breaking.
Yeah,
thing.
And maybe just kind of research it on your own. It's enough that I'll stay away from it, right?
Mm.
It's just
I haven't looked at all.
Yeah.
I don't do social media outside of Facebook, so it's
good that
Instagram
we have
like that.
As far inside scoop is, you know, we have a large here, we have a large staff. It's me.
And me, the rescue dog,
right? Yeah. Ginny, the rescue dog. We are here, research and stuff.
Doing research.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And she's so smart.
Yeah, she helps a lot.
Resourceful.
That is, if you don't know, if you haven't figured out the running joke that there is no staff for anything.
Yeah.
You're the diva.
Mm-hmm.
I get everything ready, set you in front of a microphone.
Staff.
Yes. And so when you get like words over each other, when I take the intro and do that, it's not the staff. It's me at midnight, knowing that I got to get up at 5. That's what happens, right? So there is no staff, right?
There's just, no staff at all.
That's just what happens.
Just us.
Right. I leave something in there I'm supposed to put out. I miss it because, you know, I've been so busy lately. I used to just randomly beep you. Right.
Yeah.
And so,
you try to make people think I cuss all the time.
Yeah.
I don't.
So hopefully I remember at minute 109 to beep you again.
Oh, stop.
But I won't because, you know, it'll be 11 and then 12 and it'll be midnight. Yeah. My hope is that I remember it. So hopefully you've all heard some beeps here at some inappropriate times.
Oh, stop.
I would love it. I hope
Why
I remember to do
that to me?
Well, they know, right? It's like the running joke of there's the staff, right? Our marketing staff or our editorial department or, you know, our
research
staff, customer service, our tech team, our roadies that set up all the mics. And
you're funny.
It's all of these people we have just around the house doing all these things.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to have subscriptions. We have to pay the staff. They're expensive. They sometimes hold out. So we hope that you have a wonderful week. The free preview of our subscription stuff is still there. I don't know how long before it runs out, so I'll get with the marketing people and find out when that's supposed to end. But you should see on Patreon and Apple a button that says probably free trial. So that's like a 7-day thing. So we cover Little People, Big World, Seeking Sister Wife, and really what we love is Accused, Guilty, or Innocent. Mm-hmm. It's our secret passion is real life, actually crime.
Yeah.
We do a personal podcast, Inside Scoop. We do little free previews of those before we put out the full episodes. So for us, it costs to host this stuff. And so...
It does.
Yeah, that's the
problem.
We
used to pay. And then we paid a lot.
Yeah, we're at least at the point where we're breaking even now. We're not having to pay. We're not losing money to podcast each month. So we're at least...
So there's that.
Breaking even. So there's that. So thank you for your time. We enjoy. We thank you for the new subscribers. Our subscriptions are up. So that's always good.
Breaking good news is that the Stars are up 5-3 at the end of the second period.
That is right. So we are. This is a hockey house. I'm from Michigan.
Yes,
we live in Texas.
We are hockey
fans. You have adopted the Stars since you've been here. And right now, they're 3 points up on Colorado with 5 to play. And so we beat Colorado, which as a Red Wings fan, I hate Colorado.
I hate Colorado, too.
I hate them more. And anyone that knows Red Wings knows why we hate Colorado. It's all about... Yes. And then the celebration day of March 26th. That is the day of revenge was enacted. So that there is that. So we'll stop hockey talk, but playoffs are coming. Hopefully the Red Wings sneak in, and hopefully the Stars finish first. Wouldn't that be great to have, because we're in different conferences.
I was just going to say.
The Red Wings
wouldn't
and Stars. We're not quite good enough yet as Red Wings to be there, but all you got to do is get in the tournament.
If that ever happened, we would have to blow the cash to go and see that game.
That would be it. We need a few more subscriptions so maybe we could get to Red Wings.
That would be our big splurge.
Yeah.
No European tour, but
it's
we might get to see a playoff.
The hope is someday we get, if we stop rescuing dogs and can get kids out of the house, maybe we can go somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe we can take a trip. And get the windows fixed, right?
Yeah.
So there's all that.
A list.
Or if you maybe can stop getting messing up your shoulders.
Yeah, that sucks.
So if we can stop having shoulder surgery every 3 years, that would be better.
Yeah.
See what you can do about that?
I'll try.
All right, see what you can do.
Try my best.
The rest of you have a wonderful week, and we will see you in a couple of days with Seeking Sister Wife.
Thank you for listening.
You can listen to additional episodes
by subscribing to our Coupled with Chaos channel on Apple,
by subscribing to our Patreon,
or by subscribing to our Supercast
for $3.99 a month,
where you can hear us talk about reality shows,
real life, and more on our podcasts,
covering shows airing on TLC, A&E, Bravo, and the WE Network.
Just follow the instructions in the show notes.
Tell your friends about this podcast.
And rate and review us on your favorite podcast player.
Follow us at Coupled with Chaos on all the socials,
or contact us directly by email at coupledwithchaos@gmail.com.